I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. But I want to warn you, okay, get your fingers ready, all right, because we're fixing to flip through some scriptures today. I want to welcome you to the conclusion of the Middle School Disciple Now weekend, okay? That's what we call it, and Brother Jeremy has already shared with you a lot of what has taken place and their theme this weekend. Can anybody guess what that theme is? Yeah, truly free. It's kind of plastered all over our shirts, but we see it plastered all over the Bible. Now, here's one of the things I want to start with, okay? When you think about freedom, what do you think about, right? When you think about freedom, what do you think about? Because here's the thing. In this world, it's real easy to associate freedom with, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want, I can do whatever I want. And, you know, I guess that could be one definition of freedom, right? But listen to me, you and I are not caged animals, okay? We're not caged animals that are set free into the world to go and live however we want and do whatever we want. And I call that living wildly, okay? You and I, we were not set free to live wildly. You know what? You and I, we were set free to live purposefully. Think about that for a minute. You and I were not set free to live wildly, even though many, many people do. You and I, we were set free to live purposefully. And that's what we're going to see in God's Word. And I believe that's what our middle school students and some of our high school students have seen all weekend. They've studied quite a few passages of Scripture, and they've talked about what it means to be truly free in Jesus, right? Truly free in Jesus. And one of the questions that they have been answering all weekend long, and it's a question that we're really going to answer this morning, and that's this. What does it mean to be truly free? What does that mean? What does it mean to be truly free? And so we're going to start in John chapter 8, because I think for Christians, for Christ followers today, this is where it begins. Freedom really is a big word, and there's a lot of power behind it, and there's a lot of purpose behind it. But it starts right here in John chapter 8, okay? So in John chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 31, and we're going to move through verse 36. So Jesus says this, right? It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, so this is Jesus talking. He said, if you hold to my teaching, which is God's word, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. So when they heard Jesus talk about freedom, they immediately associated it with slavery. And so they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus, he gets right to the point. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son, and he's talking about himself, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What does it mean to be truly free? Well, number one, here's what I believe. I believe we are truly free to live eternally. We're truly free to live eternally in heaven when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Jesus made it very clear right here. Nothing and no one else can save us. Nothing and no one else can set us free from the penalty and the bondage of sin, which is death and separation from God. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. This is the foundational answer to that question. What does it mean to be truly free? Listen, When we are slaves to sin, that means sin is our master. That means sin is controlling us. It's controlling how we think. It's controlling how we feel. It's controlling how we move. And here's the thing. You and I can't do anything to set ourselves free. We need God. And thank God He saw us in our sinful state and He still loved us. What did Paul say in Romans 5:8? He said, God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so God did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. Listen, He set us free from the penalty and the bondage of sin. That's where freedom begins. Freedom begins, right, with Jesus Christ living, dying, and raising up out of that grave and defeating sin and death for us so that we might be free, so that we might live eternally in heaven with God forever. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. So what does Jesus set us free from in this life? So if Jesus sets us free to live forever, to live eternally in heaven, if we're set free from our sin, what else does Jesus set us free from in this life? So we know, based on John chapter 8, that Jesus sets us free from our sin, the penalty and the bondage of it. All we have to do is repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We don't put our faith and trust in our name and our heritage and our church and our tithes and our offerings and our ministry teams and our works. Didn't the people try to do that? When Jesus said the truth's going to set you free, and they said, hang on, we ain't slaves. So why are you telling us we need to be set free? We're Abraham's descendants. And Jesus said, in my language, Jesus said, being Abraham's descendant don't free you from the penalty of sin. I do. That's what Jesus said. So in John chapter 8, He sets us free from the penalty and bondage of sin. So when we repent of our sin and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're given eternity. Listen, we were created with eternity in mind. Jesus set eternity in our hearts when He created us. And so our sin separated us from God. And listen, we were cursed unto death. Not just death in this life, but death forever. Eternal separation from God, but Jesus. Amen? But Jesus. He did what we couldn't do. He lived perfectly. He died on the cross sacrificially. He rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death, and He did that for you and me. But what else? Well, here's what we know. In this life, there are consequences to sin. Amen? There are consequences. How many of you have been with me on Sunday mornings, 1 and 2 Samuel, right? Now listen, we took a little break this morning, okay? Because we've seen the effects of sin. We've seen it in King David's life. Sin causes chaos. It causes chaos in our homes. It causes chaos in our schools. It causes chaos in our churches. It causes chaos in our world. The effects of sin, we see it every day. Our world is broken because of the consequences of sin. And listen, the consequences of sin, right? They can, and in fact, they do cause us to suffer. How do we suffer in this world because of sin? I'm going to tell you three things. We suffer despair, right? Despair. We live hopelessly and helplessly. And we fall into that despair. Not only that, discouragement. We get discouraged in this life. Sometimes we discourage ourselves. Sometimes we get discouraged by others. And not only that, distress. Distress, right? What's the base word of that word, distress? Stress. Huh? We live stressed out, don't we? I mean, we woke up this morning stressed out. What am I going to wear? We woke up this morning distressed about which way our hair was going. Well, I didn't, but y'all might have, okay? I didn't really worry about that. I had a whisker or two going out of place, and I just clipped it. But other than that, I was good. That didn't stress me out. But listen, we do. Listen, sin has it's caused chaos in our lives, in every area of our lives. But here's the thing. Guess what? This is good news. In Jesus Christ, not only are we set free from the penalty and the bondage of sin that separated us from God, right? Not only that, but He sets us free from all of the chaos Listen to me. It doesn't mean that we won't face the chaos, but we don't have to camp out in it and live in it. See, if we camp out and live in it, that's our choice. But if we lift up our eyes to the heavens and we look at Jesus, we can move through that chaos. We can have an eternal impact in the midst of the chaos. Listen to this. You ready? I told you to get your fingers ready. If not, get your phones ready and you can just clip it on the screen, okay? Whichever way makes it faster for you, because I'm going to fly through some scriptures. Ready? Psalm 118. I think our students studied this passage this week, but I'm not going to read the whole passage. I just want to read this one passage. Psalm 118, verses 5 through 7. When hard pressed, does it sound like the writer of Psalms was distressed? Maybe discouraged, right? Maybe in despair? He said, when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. Hey, has anybody in here been so stressed out you felt like the world was collapsing on you? And you felt like you were just claustrophobic, like you couldn't turn left or right, you couldn't back up, you couldn't move forward. You just felt like you were just being crushed. Guess what God can do? God can open it up and give you a spacious place. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. Listen to me. It's very important that you say that to yourself. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. You want to know why? Because we got an enemy in this world, the prince of this world, our enemy Satan, who's constantly telling you, you're all alone. You're all alone. Nobody cares. Nobody loves you. Why don't you just end it? Why don't you just quit? Anybody ever heard that lie before? I have a bunch. And so we need to remind ourselves and we need to tell ourselves, and I'm going to tell you something, we need to say it out loud. We need to look like a fool in the middle of the line at the restaurant and say, the Lord is with me. See, some of us, we don't want to look like a fool. So we shut our mouths and we let Satan keep talking. And then we wonder why we're stressed out and we can't live the way God created us to live. Because we don't want to look like a fool to the world, which is dying and going to hell. We would rather just blend in with that world and keep our mouths shut. We don't want to stand out. No, we want to be the light under a bushel. I think Jesus had something to say about that. He said, don't put your light under no bushel. You let your light shine. Sometimes we need to be willing to look like a fool in this world, right? To show this world who the king really is. And if he's the king of your life and the king of your heart, you won't mind looking like a fool in this world. If you got a problem with him being the king of your heart and the king of your life, then you'll just keep on putting that bushel over your light. Brother Jeff's getting into some of his revival sermons this week. I better stick to my notes. Verse 6, he says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. Do you see that? He said it a second time. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph over my enemies. Psalm 34, verse 19. The psalmist says this, and I love this. The psalmist says, the righteous person may have many troubles. Listen to me. I'm not telling you that Jesus Christ sets you free from your troubles. I'm telling you Jesus Christ sets you free to live the way God created you to live in the midst of your troubles. There's a big difference. And so the psalmist says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. What a powerful verse of scripture. And then Paul, you ready? 2 Corinthians, flip over in the New Testament. I'm not even going to charge you for this. Right? Making me preach all these scriptures. And hopefully you won't charge me for the workout I'm giving you with your fingers and your hands. They'll just be stronger to hold that fork at lunch, right? I'm just warming you up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you ready? Verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Here it is. We are hard-pressed on every side. This is a Christian, right? This is a Christ follower saying this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, not perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What does Jesus set us free from in this life? Right? We know He sets us free from sin, and we know that He sets us free to live eternally in heaven forever with God. But also we see that we are truly free to live fully. That means right now on earth, we are set free, right, to live fully when we embrace Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. What we see over and over again in the Scriptures is that Jesus didn't just die to save us from death. He didn't just die to save you from death. Do you want to know what Jesus did? He saved you to live life and to live it fully and forever. It's not just from death. Listen, Jesus, thank God He saved us from death. Thank God He saved us from the wrath of God, right, that is due on sin. Listen, that's the greatest blessing in my life. Jesus took the wrath of God for me. Ain't nothing in this world heavy and as hard as the wrath of God would be on me because of my sin. Jesus took that. He took that. And I thank God that's the greatest blessing in my life, that Jesus took my place. He took the wrath of God. Yes, He saved me from death, but I'm so thankful because Jesus saved me to life. Yes, it's eternal. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. But here's the truth, right? God didn't scoop me up off this earth and take me to heaven immediately. That ain't what happened. When I got saved, He opened my eyes, He opened my heart, He opened my life to see that I have plans and purposes right here, right now, until that day that He calls me home. I have plans and purposes right now. He wants me to live life right here, right now. Listen, you know what Jesus does? He sets me free from the guilt and the shame of sin. Brother Andy and the praise team led us in that song at the very beginning. I don't have to make my bed, right, in shame and in guilt. How many times do I, though? How many times do you? You want me to answer this question? Like, how can I know, Brother Jeff, that I've made my bed in shame and guilt? It's when you say, I can't. I can't. I can't serve. I can't do. I can't pray. I can't teach. When you say, I can't, you better be careful, because it's very, very possible that you're making a bed, right? Making a bed out of your shame and your guilt. God can. God can. And God will through you when you surrender to Him your heart and your life. He sets us free from that guilt and from that shame of sin. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, He doesn't stir me and convict me so that I'll be like wallowing around and playing in my guilt. He stirs me and convicts me of my sin, and I say, yes, I'm guilty, but the Holy Spirit of God says, look up. Look up to your Lord. He died for that. Give it to Him. Now go and do. Go and be who He called you to be. So He sets me free from, guess what? The bondage of despair. He sets me free from the bondage of discouragement. He sets me free from the bondage of distress. Or if you want to take off the DI and just say the bondage of stress, right? He sets me free from that. Does that mean I won't face despair in this life? No. Does that mean I won't face discouragement in this life? No. Does that mean I won't face stress in this life? No. But I'm going to tell you something. It won't beat me. Because my God's got me. And I have victory in Jesus Christ. So I can have victory over every one of those things that come against me. That's why Paul said in the passage I just read to you, hey, we may be crushed, but we ain't destroyed. Right? He knew who he was in Christ. And he knew the power of Christ in his life. And so it means we have the full power of God to make it through it all, to live and to live fully in this life with nothing holding us back. So what does Jesus set us free to do? So we know, right? We know, based on the passages we've read, we know that he sets us free from the penalty and the bondage of sin. We know that he sets us free eternally. We can live with God forever. We can be in right relationship with God, not because of our ancestry and because of our works, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's the Son who sets us free, not anything and anyone else. So we know that we are set free to live eternally, but now we know that we're also set free to live fully right here, right now in this life. We know that we are set free, right? We're set free from discouragement and despair and distress and everything else that you want to name and you probably can name, right? I only gave you a couple of spoonfuls, but I know we push around wheelbarrows full of the stuff we face and suffer in because of sin. Well, Jesus, he sets us free from that. But I told you he sets us free to live, right? And live is an action verb. That means there's doing involved. So what does Jesus set us free to do in this life? I'm going to blow your mind with one very simple answer, okay? Because you might think, oh, well, I got to go preach. I got to go teach. I got to go sign up for this thing and sign up for that thing. That's not what I'm going to do this morning, okay? Watch this. One of my absolute favorite places in the Bible to turn to when I need to be reminded of who I am, whose I am, and why I am, what I'm supposed to be doing in this life with my life. Isaiah chapter 43. This is a good passage of scripture. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. That's three of the most powerful words in the Bible, at least in my life. Because that's God talking to Jeff. He's talking to Jeff, and he looks at Jeff, and he says, son, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, notice he didn't say if you pass through the waters. He said when you pass through the waters. So guess what? This life's going to hurt. This life's going to be dangerous. This life's going to be uncomfortable. He didn't pluck us out of that. No, he left us right smack dab in the middle of it. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What did the psalmist say? You are with me. Didn't he say that? He said it twice. You are with me. You are with me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Don't forget that. God says, I am your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. Let me just tell you something. You may have come in here and you may have felt worthless. You may feel hopeless and you may feel helpless and you may want to camp out there. You may want to stay there. That's the devil. That's not God. Because what did God just say? God said, you are precious and honored in my sight. That's what God says about you. That's what God says to you. You are precious and honored in my sight. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. How many times has he said that now? Twice. I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And here it is. Here it is. I ask you the question, what does Jesus set us free to do in this life? Here it is. One answer. Verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ sets us free. We are truly free to glorify God in how we live when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. People ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Brother Jeff, I just don't know where I'm supposed to go. Brother Jeff, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Glorify God. Some people don't like that answer because it's too simple. Well, too bad, because that's what God says you're supposed to do. Glorify Him. That's why you were made. What did the Bible say in verse 7? You were made for what? For His glory, to glorify Him. Why do we want to add to that? And the Bible says when we try to add to it anyway, we ain't supposed to do that. Nor are we supposed to take away. Here's the truth, middle school students. You were created to glorify God in middle school. Who? Middle school. We got any middle school teachers in here? I taught middle school for 1 year. And I said, no thanks. I'll quit and find another job. Now, I was running from Jesus during that time of my life, right? And I didn't want to hear Him say, hey, that grace I gave you, you need to be a vessel of it. Man, I didn't want to hear it. Middle school's hard. It's hard. Hey, we got any middle school parents in here? Hey, is middle school hard, parents? You ain't even in it, but your kids are, and it's driving you nuts. Wait till high school. And I hate to pop your bubbles, but wait till they go to college. Wait till they old enough to vote and pay their own bills. It's still going to drive you crazy. Right? But here's the truth. Mamas and daddies, we need to be telling our kids, you know what you were made for, son, daughter? You weren't made to be the best player on the baseball field. No matter how much money I spend and try to make you think that's what you're made for. Ooh, sorry, Mom and Daddy, I just called you to repentance. What we need to be teaching our kids is that they were made to glorify God no matter where they were. No matter how good or how bad they were. No matter if they were the ones on the bench or the ones on the pitcher's mound or the one in the bleachers or the one that's not even at the game. No matter where we are. No matter how many people are watching or if nobody's watching, it don't change the fact of what we were created for. We were created for God's glory. And Jesus Christ set us free to know that and to live that. To know that and to live that. This passage in Isaiah 43 reminds us that God created us for one purpose, and that is to glorify Him. We are to glorify our Creator in all that we say and do in this life, and no position or place changes that. No position or place changes that. Again, are you ready? Because I'm ready to get your hands working again, okay? I gave you a little bit of a break. I gave you an extended time. That was a TV timeout, okay? Yeah, the TV timeouts are always longer because they're all about making money. Okay, even though we didn't get no money out of this, I just took you on a TV timeout with your hands. But now it's time to go back to work. You ready? 1 Corinthians, okay? So we were in 2 Corinthians, flip back. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. You ready for this? Middle school students, you need to know who you are. You need to know whose you are, and you need to know why you are. And that's what Isaiah 43 is. But that's also what 1 Corinthians 6 is. You ready? And everybody else in this room, what I just said to middle school students applies to you too, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You ready for this? You weren't set free to live wildly. You were set free to live purposefully. And that means the purposes that God gives you. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. John chapter 15. Oh, man. I think our women's retreats use John chapter 15 all the time as their theme, right? Abide, 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 remain, dwell in. Oh, listen to Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I think so many times the reason we suffer so much despair, so much discouragement, and so much distress is because we forget who we are, whose we are, and why we are. I really believe that. Star Baptist Church is probably getting tired of me saying that. Well, guess what? I ain't going to stop saying it. Because every time you walk out, the devil don't want you to know who you are. The devil surely don't want you to know whose you are. And the devil don't want you to know why you are. Because he's working on lost souls and trying to get them to go to hell with him. And when you know who you are and whose you are and why you are, you won't mind saying, Jesus, you are with me, out loud in front of everybody. You won't be afraid to pray with somebody at a gas pump, at a gas station, out loud with everybody going, what is he doing? What is she doing? Amen. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I'm in you, you gonna bear what kind of fruit? Much fruit. Much fruit. But remember this, apart from me, you can't do nothing. So guess what? You're going to lay down and wallow in your suffering, in your shame, in your guilt, in your despair, in your discouragement, in your distress. If you're there right now, if that's where you are right now, if you just feel like you have no space, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. Right now, you ought to say, God, forgive me because I have chosen to stay here, but I ain't staying here no more. God, I believe you. God, I trust you. I trust what your word says. And your word says that I am yours. And because I am yours, you tell me that the waters won't drown me and the fires won't burn me up. So, Father God, I ain't going to lay down in this discouragement and this distress and all of this pain and suffering no more. I'm going to get up. And all of a sudden, God, I believe what you said in your word. You're going to give me space. You're going to give me space to move. You're going to give me space to walk. You're going to give me space to run. I was running with a group of guys and girls yesterday morning, actually, real early, about 5:30 in the morning. We couldn't hardly see where we were going. And it was a big group. So normally I'm running with, you know, 4, 5, 6 people, and this time it was a lot of people. And so, you know, I was just trying to run with them. Okay, so I slowed down a little bit and I was running their pace, but here's what happened, okay? We got a little tight. And so Richard was on one side of me and he and I were like bumping elbows and I'm not good with that. When I'm running, I'm like, give me some space here, okay? And then all of a sudden Justin was on one side and somebody was like right on my heels and I couldn't go anywhere because there was somebody in front of me. And I just felt like I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this. So here's what we did. We said, hey guys, spread out. It's two lanes. And ain't nobody on the road at 5:30. Spread out. Let's give each other some space. Do you know what happened when we gave each other space? Anybody want to know? We started running faster. And nobody complained either. Nobody complained. And nobody thought about it. Guess what? I did because I looked down at my watch. And I was like, they don't even know they're running about 35 seconds faster per mile than they were just a few minutes ago. God will give you space, right? When you trust him, God will give you space. You won't feel all closed in and contained. God will open it up. And God will give you room. He'll give you room to be who he created you to be and do what you were created to do and give him glory in it. I remember one of those runners yesterday morning when we finished and we got there and look, all I could see was that Starbucks because I wanted a big old cup of coffee. But anyway, we got to the finish line. And I remember one of the girls that was running, she said, oh my gosh, I ran 12 miles today faster than I ran 10 miles last Saturday. You want to know why? Because she had room. She had room to stretch those legs. She had room, right, to swing those arms. She had room. God gave her space. And I know I'm talking about something that's not really spiritual, but it is. It is. My coach that I listen to on my app all the time, he'll say this, this is about running, but this is also not about running. It's about your life. So many of us, we've been held back. You know what we've been doing? We've been holding ourselves back. We've been allowing the lies of the enemy to be our truth when in fact they're lies. If you want more about that, come tonight at 6 o'clock, Spiritual Warfare Session 2. We're going to talk about the father of lies. Who is Satan? But Jesus goes on after verse 5. He says this in verse 8. This is to my Father's glory. So Jesus said, let me tell you who you are. And let me tell you whose you are. And when you're in me and I'm in you, let me tell you what you can do. You can bear much fruit. You can go a lot faster than you've gone before. You can do a whole lot more than you've ever done, right? But if you get away from me, you can't do nothing. So Jesus says this in verse 8. Why? This is to my Father's glory. What were you created to do? What did we learn in Isaiah 43? You were created to do what? Give God glory. You can't give God glory when you're bound and you're just laying down in the suffering and the shame and the guilt. You can't. You have to repent of that. You have to bathe in the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God so that you can be who He created you to be. And Jesus said it's for His glory. Listen to this. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus, listen to me. Anything Jesus ever says in the Bible, anybody got the red letter Bible, right? Anybody? I still love my Bibles that have the red letters, right? I can read it and know that that's Jesus talking, but something about them red letters just jumps off the page, okay? Anything Jesus said, right? It's what His Father says. Because Jesus said, I only say what my Father says. I only do what my Father says do. I only go where my Father says go. He and His Father were one. And so Jesus, He's telling us the same thing Isaiah the prophet said. Right? And then Peter, oh man, I love Peter. Okay? I identify with Peter a lot. I open my mouth many, many times and then find out I probably shouldn't have opened my mouth. Okay? But Peter, when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, oh, let me tell you what he knew. He knew who he was, whose he was, and why he was. That's why in 1st Peter chapter 2, now I'm not going to take you to all these verses. I'm just going to take you to 2, 15 and 16, but let me tell you what he said before 15 and 16. In 1st Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, let me tell you who you are. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's holy nation. You are God's special possession. Why? So that you may declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's what Peter said. And then he said this. You ready? Verses 15 and 16. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. That's powerful. So Peter said, right? He reminds us, here's who we are, here's whose we are, and here's why we are. We are God's royal priesthood. We are God's holy nation. We are God's special possession. Our purpose is to glorify God. We are to sing the praises of God so that people can know that we've been called out of darkness and into His light, His marvelous light. Jesus said people ought to know who you are. They ought to know whose you are. They ought to know why you are because you ought to live that way. And Peter says Jesus has set us free to live that way. But He didn't set us free to pick and choose when and to pick and choose how. That's a cover up. And I'm going to tell you, if you ask me what's happened in the church, and I'm not talking about Stark Baptist Church, I'm just talking about the church in general. Well, what's happened with the church and why the church has not made a real kingdom impact in her community is because they pick and choose who they want sitting by them on Sunday morning. They're too scared of this person because of the way he looks or she looks or what they did Saturday night or what they did this morning. You gotta dress right. You gotta talk right. You gotta do this. Listen to me. Ain't none of us doing it right. Ain't none of us doing it right. So how can we tell somebody else how to do it right? I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm a leader in it. I don't want to lead like that anymore. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to be a church like that anymore. I want to be a church that says if you're sick, and you're hungry, and you're thirsty, and you need help, please come. please come. I don't care what you got on. I don't care what you smell like. I don't care where you were last night or this morning. I got a man who can change your life. His name is Jesus. That's who we need to be. And I'm going to tell you what, middle school students, that's who you need to be in your school. Why are kids suffering with depression? Why are kids suffering with suicidal thoughts? Why are kids committing suicide? Why are kids reaching out to pornography and drugs and alcohol? And I say, kids, why is anybody doing that? I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. We don't know why we are. We've grabbed hold of anything and everything else but the Word of God to know the truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. You know what truth he was talking about? This truth. You want to know what else he's talking about? He's talking about himself. You know how I know that? John chapter 1. When it said, in the beginning, God created, right? And he was with him. He's talking about Jesus. The Word was with him. He's talking about Jesus. And it said, the Word became flesh. So here's the truth, right? Here's what I believe has happened in so many people's lives. I believe we got so many people who are okay and cool with Jesus being their Savior. They're just not okay and cool with Jesus being their Lord. That's the problem. That's Jeff's problem. That's Brother Jeff's problem. That's Jeff's problem. That's Marty's husband's problem. That's Katie and Joan and Francie and Jacob's daddy's problem. Oh, he saved me from hell. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live in eternity. Right? With God. In heaven. Because Jesus is my Savior. I have no doubt about that. The part I struggle with every day is waking up and saying, God, I am yours. I am yours today. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. So God, right now, I'm going to deny myself. And I'm going to take up the cross of Jesus and I'm just going to follow him today. And maybe that leads me to a place where it's going to be hard. Maybe that leads me to a person that is laying down in sin, wallowing in sin. And maybe that leads me to a person publicly where I go and get down with that person and all these other people are watching and they say, how could Brother Jeff touch him, touch her? How could Brother Jeff talk to him, talk to her? You better go look at Jesus. And you better go look at Jesus when all those people had them rocks in their hand ready to stone a woman who was caught in prostitution, right, and in adultery. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus got down there with her. And I believe he touched her, not just physically, but spiritually. And he wasn't worried about what all them people with rocks in their hands was going to say and do. Here's the key. You ready? The key to being truly free in heaven and on earth, right? Or the keys, should I say? There's two of them. Number one, surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's got to start there. Surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're struggling in despair, if you're struggling in sin, if you can't get out, listen to him, if you're living a lifestyle of sin and there is no conviction from the Holy Spirit and there is no remorse or sorrow for your sin, you're lost. You're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because you can't live a lifestyle of sin and keep on living with it and be okay with it and be in Christ. You can't. The Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you of your sin. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to stir you to repentance. So first and foremost, the key, right, the first key to living truly free is embracing Jesus Christ as Savior. But the second key, and this is an important key for the church and for Christ followers, it is to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord. He is your master. He is in charge. He is in control, and you're okay with it. You're okay with it. That's the key, right? We have to surrender to Jesus as our Savior. We have to submit to him as our Lord. And here's the truth, right? Because at Start Baptist Church, we about three things. Connecting, loving, and serving. We want to connect with God and connect with people. We want to love God and we want to love people. We want to serve God and serve people. And so if we, as the body of Jesus Christ, want to connect and we want to love and we want to serve, then we have to be in Jesus and Jesus has to be in us. And I'm going to tell you, when He is and we are, we're going to bear much fruit. And everybody going to know it. Listen. That corn is gone now. It kind of makes me sad. Like, I was running, you know, and I'd look out and that corn was this tall. And then that corn was this tall. And then it was just like way over my head. It was like 3 foot tall, way over my head. Anyway, but what was cool is I saw that corn on them stalks, right? And you see that stuff coming out of it. And you just see the corn is having a hard time standing up. Right? It's like starting to sway because of the fruit that's on it. Man, that ought to be the church today. That ought to be the church and start today. They ought to look at the church and start and say, man, look at the fruit on those stalks. Man, that place is bending over. Can't even stand up straight with all the fruit on it. That's what people ought to say when they, not just pass by, but when they drive up. The church ought to be the ones they think about when they need help. Now, I'm all about doctors. I'm all about psychiatrists. I'm all about those gifted people that God has given talent and ability to. I'm all about that. But listen to me, the church ought to be the first place they call with no fear of condemnation and judgment. And yet, they're not calling the church. You want to know why? Because of the fear of condemnation and judgment. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? The first thought that comes to their mind ought to be, they're going to love me. They're going to connect with me. And if they're truly in Christ and Christ is truly in them, then they're going to serve me because I need it. And if our community is not thinking that way, then we ain't the church we're supposed to be. And I make no apologies about that. None. Middle school students, I hope you listened. I hope you learned this weekend. I really do. I hope you had fun in those games and that food. Man, I saw pizza on the slide. You can't have a student ministry event without some pizza. It's like it's in 2 Jeff chapter 3. I haven't made that available to anybody yet. Probably won't get in trouble for that, but students, I do. I hope it was a great weekend, but more than anything, I hope Jesus got your attention. And more than your attention, I hope Jesus got your heart. Because if Jesus got your heart, Star Baptist Church, you better look out. And whatever school you go to, you better look out. Private, public, I don't care. Christian in a name, non-Christian in a name, I don't care. You can make a difference. You can bear much fruit. Because God has set you free. Truly free. Adults, the same can be said to us and for us and about us. Amen.